Good morning.
Morning.
You will be interested to know this morning, as I said in the earlier service, that there is no rustling of paper sermon. So I'll make the noise instead. Because I have gone technological, and I have it on my pad here, you will be delighted to know that I also have the same thing on my phone as a backup, should there be an IT failure. As there often is in my life. So the question I'd like to ask you to start this off is, am I important?
Oh, yeah.
And the other question is, how important are you? How special am I? How special are you? Have you ever thought that you are amazing? Somehow different, and in some way, indefinable way, just above the level of other people sometimes. We've just had a 2-week holiday in Italy. That doesn't make me special, by the way. But don't worry, because I'm not going to put loads of holiday slides up. There is over 2,000 of them, I will warn you. And if you would really like to take part in the torture, you can come to our house and have it. But after the first 1,000, I think you'll have passed out. But one of the holiday insights that I gained while in Italy is kind of relevant to what I'm going to say this morning. It's amazing to watch Italian drivers and Italian parking. And we had the privilege of sitting in the coach at one point with the big window in front of us, because we kind of rotated seats, and at one point we were near the front. And it's not uncommon to see someone overtake you in a high-powered car at high speed on a bend where they can't see what's in front and somehow push their car into a space ahead that didn't really seem to exist at all. It was just too small. And then they then block the traffic on a main road by double parking in front of you, in such a way that their car completely blocks the main road. They then abandon their car, sauntering into the shop across the road to buy cigarettes and coffee. They come out, sauntering out of the shop, completely unaware of the world around them, oblivious to the road chaos they're causing, get back into their car, reverse their car out into the traffic, pushing everyone else out of the way if they can, and zoom off down the road. Oblivious to the complete jam-up that exists behind them. At that point, you start to realise that there is no one more important in the world at that moment than that person going to work, getting their very important Italian coffee. Their needs along the way must take precedence. In our reading, gospel reading, the brothers James and John said to Jesus, "We want you to do whatever we ask. Give me a Ferrari. Let one of us sit at your right hand, and let the other one sit at your right, your left, in glory." Well, I wonder what expression Jesus had on his face at this point. Although he knew what was in men's hearts, I would think it was kind of a look of amazement, really. Such a bold, out there request in front of the other disciples. we're really important. We must sit at your right and your left, places of importance. Just how important do James and John think they are? And they made this request after a piece of the reading that came before what we had read, where Jesus told his disciples that he was going to be crucified and rise from the dead in 3 days. He says to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they said. "We can." I wonder what tone of voice Jesus said that to them in. "Can you drink the cup I drink? Can you be baptized with my baptism?" I would think he'd probably be a bit annoyed, you know. James and John had no idea what they'd just asked for. They'd no idea that they'd let their inner selfishness spill out all over the place in front of Jesus and the other disciples. How had they crossed the line? They'd crossed the line in God's kingdom. God's kingdom doesn't work like that. They seemed to have no idea how deep the cup of suffering that Jesus was going to endure was on the cross, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he'd already received and they were going to get at Pentecost, and how it was going to change their lives and turn the world upside down, and the service that they would be required to give as a result of all of that. They had no idea. And Jesus tells James and John that they will drink from the same cup of suffering and service as him, and they will be baptized with the same baptism. But it's God the Father who will give them their places in the kingdom of heaven. Where they sit, that's what God will decide, not them, not even Jesus. Where they're going to sit, God's going to decide. We know from the book of Acts that James was put to death with the sword, as it's called, by Herod. So, like Paul, that probably means that he was beheaded. John, however, went on to write his gospel, live in Ephesus, and die in his 90s. With a quick exile to Patmos and various other trials and traumas along the way. When the 10 other disciples heard about this request of James and John, they became indignant. That's the word that's used. Indignant with James and John. So let me ask you, how do you feel when you see people who think they are important and push themselves forward ahead of everyone else and ahead of you? Do you feel indignant? Must admit, I felt a bit indignant on the couch watching it going on in front of us. Because, after all, don't we all have rights and protections these days? Don't we? Well, let me ask you, what legal rights and social protections do you think that you should claim in our society as a Christian? And I'm going to leave that with you to ponder. Make a great home group discussion, that would. But just bear in mind that Jesus had every right to be God and all the privileges of God and everything that came with it, and he became a servant. You can add that into your discussion later. But after James and John's request, Jesus called his disciples to him, and he told them in no uncertain terms that they were to be different to the way that the world worked. They were not to bully and exercise power over each other, exercise authority. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. Slave and servant, same word in Greek, depends on the context. But one way or another, whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How do you live your life now as a Christian? As a member of the kingdom of heaven? Do you find yourself as a servant to others? Why should we be servants of others? Jesus told his disciples this. He said, even the Son of Man, so even God himself, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're to take our example from Jesus, and we are to serve and to give ourselves in the service of others because of Jesus. In other words, it's all about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. It's about the church, the body of Christ. It's not about us individually. This teaching is all about honouring others. And Jesus above ourselves needs to be honoured. The Apostle Paul points this out in our reading from Ephesians, doesn't he? We could be honouring parents, or our children, or our employers, or those who work with us, or even those who work for us. As Paul said to the Christian slaves of his day, and most of the early church, a good proportion of the early church, were actually slaves at this point. Obey your masters, not only to favour you when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, as slaves or servants of Christ. Why should we be like this? Because Jesus was and is like this. And that's what he wants from us, his body, his people. The kingdom of God is not about power and authority over other people. It's not about being, Christ-like only when people are watching you. The kingdom of God is about giving and service even when no one is watching. When no one acknowledges you and no one seems to care, and when for doing it you are actually pushed aside, which can quite often happen in a workplace. If you are serving as Christ would serve, you can be pushed aside quite often. But just as Jesus gave himself on the cross and honoured us, so we're called to serve others and to honour Jesus, because in doing so, we honour and give to one another. So, how important are you? How important am I? Is probably the wrong question. The real question we must all ask ourselves is, how important is Jesus in us, and what does that mean in the way we live our lives? And as we serve, what does it mean in the expression that's on our face? And what does it mean about the joy and the enjoyment of serving that's in our hearts, because we're serving Christ? Amen.